Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We're diving into a little Friday primer here. So Merry Christmas to all those celebrating this Christmas season. And so we've got, I think, a lot of complicated moving factors this week with all the COVID stuff. So keep paying attention to those COVID wires. Again, I'm keeping, I'm focusing on any of that news, picking up any guys that sort of can be affected by that. You know, we talked earlier in the week. I think it was earlier in the week. It's moving very quickly at this point. It feels like Monday at this point feels like a month ago. But the Gabe Davis, and we sort of knew that. Listen, it looks like he's unvaccinated. He has the pattern of an unvaccinated player because of all the the close contact thing earlier in the season. I think that was August, right? So that's we knew that was a potential. We knew that Beasley got it. And, we said, hey, listen, there's a really good chance that that Davis isn't going to be playing for a couple of games. And that's what happened. So, trying to just focus on these things, get out in front of them. I don't know how actionable that was. It's like, all right, go get Diggs. Well, there's not a ton of other options there to do it. So it's going to leave them really hamstrung. Like, my Allen Diggs stack, all of the targets, like AJ Brown on Thursday night, all of the targets, give me all of the targets, give me 18 plus targets. We got this thing. Let's ride it all the way home to a championship. It's kind of what I'm hoping out of those two. So this is the time that Diggs comes to play. So that's what we're hoping for. All right. In any event, let's run down some of the quarterback injuries here. Allen, Brady, both popped up here, but nothing concerning. Brady with a DNP on Thursday. Just a Veterans Day off, which is interesting, honestly. He's not one that shows up with that a ton. Cousins is good to go. He showed up with a limited practice on Wednesday, but nothing there. Rodgers still isn't practicing, but there's no concern. Like, he's just going to keep playing without practicting. So he's playing at an MVP level. Just let that sink in. He's one, and I don't like. He's not, he's standard deviations from the average or from the mean. But it's amazing. Like, when you think about it, some of these, we may overreact a little bit to this COVID stuff in terms of, in terms of someone like the oh, he missed time and he can't. Like, he didn't practice this week. He gets activated on Saturday. Like, what, oh man, like, we can't play him. Like, these guys DNP, DNP limited play and then play well all the time. Is it ideal to have a guy sit out all week and play? No. Is it something that is possible? Yeah. And again, the other thing I would say too is, at this point in the season, you have to remember, like, there's not a ton of contact going on during practice. Like, yeah, you're missing some of the stuff and the drills and all that stuff. I get that. But, like, you're not it's not like you missed all a training camp. It's not like you're doing all that stuff. So I do think, like, if you get, and some of the thought is like, hey, Swift is limited this week. If he plays, what are we going to do? Well, you're going to play him. Right? You're going to play him. And Rodgers isn't a fair comparison to the other 99.98% of the NFL that's not in the superhuman of the non-human category, or beyond human category, I should say. But he's a good example of the fact that, you can get away with not practicing or practicing very limited amounts and still playing well. And it shouldn't be totally surprising. A couple of things here I think are interesting in terms of the injury stuff. Lamar's DNP, DNP. I'm recording this at 2:00 on Friday, so we haven't gotten full practice reports or anything like that. The reports are trending negative, and honestly, like, Tyler Huntley can probably play well enough. I don't know the answer to this question. So when I don't know the answer to the question, let's take the upside bet. And I think it's clearly a, hey, let's just keep stashing Tyler Huntley. Like, if we've got him, I don't know. Like, Lamar hasn't practiced in a week, in basically 2 weeks at this point. And like, all right, we're going to get some more sample out of Tyler Huntley. And is there a buyer's market for him in the offseason? I'm not sure. I mean, you know, I've heard it speculated that Lamar is on the market, you know, and Russillo did this big piece this week about, you know, about that. I think it's probably all bogus in terms of, you know, not Russillo, but the other media out there, you know, basically being the hot take of like, oh, they should trade Lamar. I don't think that's a serious conversation. But that all being said, like if Huntley can continue to play at a level like that's competitive, and it's really interesting from a, at least you have the injury away guy, right? And is that rosterable in 28 man safe leagues, super flex leagues, you know, forever? Maybe not. But listen, with the uncertainty, and we're heading into an offseason where there's going to be probably more quarterback uncertainty, who knows? You know, so I would continue to hold him. If he plays well, again, hold him and see if he can make it to the offseason. And even in start one, like if you're cutting kicker defense, there's no one out there, but you know, Tyler Huntley's available. What the worst thing that happens is you cut him in at rookie draft time. I mean, I definitely think that's an interesting thing to watch for. And, you know, I played him last week in a week that he actually advanced me in the playoffs. So I wouldn't necessarily run away from him. It's not, you know, it is a matchup. They're on the road against Cincy. So it's not like it's maybe the greatest matchup, but I think it's definitely one that, you know, I'm okay. You know, that we're okay to potentially go to him. You know, given what we've seen so far. Okay, some other ones here. So that's Hurts is a limited participant. I expect him to go. There's a midweek DNP for Justin Fields, so I would watch that. Andy Dalton's full participant in practice on Thursday as well. So just be careful on that the Fields thing, and maybe scoop up a share of Dalton. You know, that's if he's out there available. You know, especially if there's late week thoughts that maybe Fields can't play, just, you know, protect against an issue of, you know, any COVID issue by scooping up Dalton. At least, at least, you know, he can play. Again, they're playing Seattle. It's not like it's the 85 Bears or anything. So I think you could potentially spot start him if emergency required. Ben's dealing with a pec. He should probably be able to play. A couple of DMPs for Bridgewater already been ruled out. So you're getting a Drew Lock spot start. That's your stuff on the quarterback position for injuries. Chase Daniel on COVID. I think that's a relevant one. We're just protecting against Goff. So if you have any Chase Daniel shares, you know, maybe, and if you're holding him as a backup for Herbert, that's probably going to be next year would sort of be what you're, next week would probably be more what you're thinking of in terms of, you know, him being a spot start. This week it would be, you'd be looking at, you wouldn't be looking at him. You would instead be looking at Easton Stick, I think would be the injury away guy if Herbert were to pop up on the injury report. So that's just a name to monitor. There's no reports of that. But again, once it's in the room, you kind of have to, my mind goes to, hey, let's, you know, I'm not sure we could start Easton Stick, but you get the idea. Like that's going to be the next name up if in case of break glass emergency. Goff on the COVID list as well, so potential Tim Boyle start, Taysom Hill, we're getting an Ian Book start. Like we got to go back to the crisis level that we had early in the season. I had like the how screwed are we, the how screwed are we scale, and that like starting Tim Boyle against like the Browns defense was like the highly screwed level. You magnify that by being in the playoffs. So that's where some of these are. I don't want to have to do those, but this is interesting because it's really taking a beating on quarterbacks that maybe you're not necessarily playing Goff, but then on the flip side of that, like it is going to hamper potentially, we'll get there in a second, but it's potentially going to hamper guys like Allen, like Mahomes, right? You know, some of the injuries with Brady, like it's all, you know, everything that got you here, it's like, oh, great. And this is why I'm a big fan of, hey, just get in, right? Like And I used to be this elitist. Like, if I'm not in and I'm not getting a bye, I don't care about the playoffs. This year in particular, and so with so much of the randomness we see, like, generally, this year is an even better example of, like, if Chip Chair, you're drawn random. And, you know, if you do that a handful of times, you got some good chances. So, so that's really the case in point this week. All right. So I think one of the couple big stories here at the running back position, Lenny is going to IR, Delvin Cook on COVID. So if you had Lenny, maybe this will be an AOD thought writing experience at some point in the near future. If you had Lenny and you rode him here and you got all the way here and like if you're watching a bike race, he's the domestique that drops you off at the bottom of the mountain with a lead. And you're like, all right, like, now what do I've got? Well, it's Alexander Mattison. Like, Alexander Mattison's the one that's going to carry you to the top of the mountain. That's Leonard Fournette. So Lenny to IR, it's been a great season for him. If you have Mattison, you know, you're a potential start here for him this week and potentially next week. I will say this, it is not entirely clear to me a couple of things on the Delvin Cook situation. So he will miss this week. He has tested positive, according to the Star Tribune, which is the Minnesota paper. He has tested positive. There's two things that are not clear to me in terms of his return. If he's not vaccinated, it has been 10 days. What's not clear to me is when the test was and when, you know, some of the symptoms started. That can impact the date and how they actually measure 10 days too. This is getting super technical in terms of that. It appears to me it happened Wednesday or Thursday. And if it happened, you know, so you could potentially, depending on how you count the days, he could potentially return next Saturday, you know, and potentially play next week. However, I'm not positive on that yet. So what I'll say is this: like, you've got a spot start this week. We'll worry about next week when we get there. Right? This is a bullpen game. Like, just get through this week. We'll worry about next week there. I think there's a decent chance that Delvin Cook misses next week. We don't know his vaccination status either, even though he said, you know, he was unvaccinated early on. So, you know, and had some of those, the treatments, like, he was unvaccinated early on as well. Treatments in the, how the list treated him, right? So that he was placed as a close contact early on. That should be a signal he's unvaccinated. He had that. So Madison spot start. We'll take Eckler as well. He has a show with Liz Loza, who I believe is still at Yahoo. And said he doesn't think he's going to make it back this week. So potential Justin Jackson start this week. I don't feel great about that. When I feel really good about the Madison one, I don't feel good about, like, a Justin Jackson spot start. Cause I honestly, like, I just, Joshua Kelly is probably the worst running back in the NFL. And then Justin Jackson's, like, better than him, but it's not a huge difference. Like, this isn't it's not a consolidated situation like you would get. This isn't a Madison effect type deal. Justin Jackson's closer to Joshua Kelly than he is Austin Eckler. And as a result, you sort of see a split there in terms of the treatment. So that would sort of be one of my thoughts there on that. All right, Barkley, a couple limited participations. He should be good to go. Some interesting stuff here. Limited the past three practices for DeAndre Swift. I actually have Friday data too on a couple of these guys. Actually, he's the only one that actually shows up in the tracker yet. Limited participant here. I think we'll know. I think this is a situation in which we will know if he's going to play. And I think that we'll, when I say that, what I mean is, if you are, you know, if you're familiar with Saturday night, Sunday morning, Schefter Rappaport tweet barrage, that frequently has a lot of injury information. That will be, I think, a situation where we will know the answer in that if Swift is going to play. If Swift is going to play, he's going to be in my lineups. I think that would, I think you have to, I think you have to, you probably have to play him. Sort of be my thought. It's might be running back two. I'm just checking here with the, yeah, so Football Guys has him as running back 21, but just for example, like, I think that's maybe a cautious, there's some caution there. In particular, I think one person doesn't think he's going to play. So if he does get a bump that he's going to play, let's say this. There's a 6-point projection, a 14, a 14, and a 14-point projection. So I think if you get, you know, something in the range of certainty that he's going to play, you'll see him bump to, you know, it's going to be, do you play him or Devin Singletary? You hit, play him or Clyde Edwards-Helaire? You play him or James Conner? Him or Justin Jackson? Him or Ronald Jones? Him or Saquon Barkley? Him or Javonte Williams? Right, that's already up to running back 14, right? Him or Zeke, right? So you're sort of getting in the idea, like, that's where he's going to be, running back two range. I would probably want to know a little bit more, but him and Barkley would be a decision I would have to make. And I don't have, you know, as I sit here right now without a full set of information and everything like that, I don't have a great answer to that question. So, you know, it's... yeah, I guess that would be the easiest thing that I would say. I'd be tempted to play Swift over Barkley, but I wouldn't commit to that as of yet. All right, so the keep going down here. Connor has DMP'd 3 times with a heel injury, so he's probably on the bad side of questionable at this point, would sort of be my inclination. That might open up a Chase Edmonds game, which could be pretty interesting here. You know, going forward, getting a spot start in basically this week 16, I'd feel fully confident playing him too. Give me all the Chase Edmonds shares. Maybe this is a situation you pick up an Eno Benjamin. You know, you check the wire, see if Eno Benjamin is available, and you know, in the event that something happens to, you know, whether it's Edmonds, who knows, during this week or, you know, during this game, and if Connor can't get back, like, this could be a spot start scenario for Benjamin. So he's one that I think you should probably be picking up. All right, some other ones here. Pollard, a couple limited participations, probably trending towards playing. That's good news. Looks like Miles Sanders, 2 DMPs. No one was concerned about that for the beat writers in Philly. I'll say, don't worry, he's going to play. They're just resting him. It's a quad injury. You know, just I would watch. This is a Swift situation where you're going to watch and kind of know, I think, or you know, during the week about over the weekend whether or not he's going to play. But everyone thinks he was pretty. The Philly beat writers are pretty confident that he's going to play and aren't super worried about it. Ramondre Stevenson dealing with a non-COVID illness, so DMP, Wednesday, Thursday. You know, him versus Damian Harris will be an interesting watch. Harris himself, limited participant in games here, or in practices here, Wednesday and Thursday. David Johnson, a couple of DMPs, so that might be a Rex Burkhead situation. He's fully questionable with a quad injury. Javonte Williams, limited participants Wednesday, Thursday, so I feel confident about that. I mentioned Dalvin Cook on COVID. A couple of other ones here. Yeah, nothing super relevant. There's a couple of veteran rest days, but yeah, no, nothing super, super, super worrisome there. So interesting, you know, some interesting stuff, and I think some potential spot start situations. Alexander Mattison is in line for potential league winning status, which I always love the stories of the Raheem Mosterts, the Tim Hightowers. Like, I would love to put that on a banner with Alexander Mattison's name next to it. And so wide receiver position here, we're dealing with, we got a host of injuries. We've got Godwin out. We've got Antonio Brown returning, which I think is notable, and potentially one you could play. I was listening to Ryan Russillo's podcast I mentioned before, and he was discussing about how with the Tampa reporter Sarah Walsh about, you know, what's the deal with him actually coming back, and they were like, they need him. So, like, there was some thought that maybe he'd get cut by Arians, but you know, because he had said I'm having a zero, like a zero tolerance policy. Well, it's zero tolerance until it's not. So, so it looks like they're going to play him and they're going to need him, honestly. So this is a situation there for Tampa. It's getting kind of dire with some of their injury stuff. Jalen Darden popping up on the COVID list, as well as the Godwin and Evans stuff, and then obviously Fournette as well. So some tough stuff there. Cooks is on the COVID list, so he went on early in the week. So I don't think that we haven't really seen anyone clear during a specific week. And from people that I've listened to, I think it's really tough and going to be really difficult to actually do that in terms of the way the tests are, that you're not actually going to be able to do it. So so we'll watch for that. Some of the media and stuff has already ruled him specifically out. I haven't seen a specific vaccination status or anything like that for Brandon Cook. So maybe we lose him this week. I would just watch that because that's one of the situations I'm not sure of. Just make sure he doesn't get activated. It doesn't look like that he will, but just in case, just monitor that. And then hopefully we'll have him back by next week. He should be able to clear the protocol by then. Marquez Valdes-Scantling popped up with a COVID issue as well. Maybe that's an Alan Lazard situation if you need a wide receiver. For Green Bay. Hopefully Landry should be back. Gabe Davis and Cole Beasley, as I mentioned before, all the targets to Stephon Diggs this week. So looking down here at some of the injury stuff, we have Mike Evans has been ruled out with a hamstring, so he hasn't practiced at all this week, so not good. Hopeful here longer term that we get him back, maybe next week, but it doesn't look super, super promising. Some of the other stuff here, in terms of names to watch, Zay Jones is a guy that I know some people have had to spot start. DMP limited with a toe, so trending in the right direction. A couple limited participations from DK Metcalf. DJ Moore went DMP limited with a hamstring, so puts him on like a game time decision type track. Three DMPs in a row for Rondale Moore. Christian Kirk, probably beneficiary there, especially with DeAndre Hopkins. I'm feeling confident playing AJ Green as well. That situation's consolidating into a couple of reserve guys who, frankly, I think we know can play. And I think that's a pretty useful situation. Some other ones here. Josh Reynolds dealing with a thigh injury, but he is trending towards playing. That's a good sign. He's a potential spot start guy. A couple of limited participations from Adam Thielen as well, so that's trending good. I saw him talk to the media. That's usually a good sign. So optimism there as well. Traquan Smith dealing with a limited participation midweek due to a shoulder injury. So that's one I know that some people have had a spot start, and by some people I mean me. That's a potential watch there as well. All right, tight end position, and again, I think the big one here is we're watching Kelce, and we're watching where his where he's at in terms of returning. And as of Friday, he's still on the list, so watch for that. Adam Trautman as well. And then Jasper Horsted with Chicago. So just be careful if you got a Cole Kmet, if you're depending on him or anything like that, that's circulating in that room. Will Disley as well. So I don't know if you're relying on Will Disley or anyone or Gerald Everett or someone like that, but just keep that in mind as well with the Seattle offense. Pat Freiermuth, a couple of DMPs with a concussion as well. So he's missed some time here. Zach Gentry could be one that you could potentially, if you need a guy, could play if Freiermuth is going to be out. Foster Moreau, limited participations here with the fact that Waller still is not practicing. Couple of DMPs there. I'm getting nervous for the Waller side of this all. It just doesn't seem... The time that he's missed does not seem proportionate to the amount of time that you would expect via this injury. At least, you know, reading some of the stuff from Dr. Gene and from some other people, it hasn't seemed proportional. And that gives me some caution and concern based on, you know, some of the history that we know with him. I know that, like, this is a good example you know, like Will Fuller, for example, where it hasn't been proportionate to what they said is going on. And that gives me some pause about what is actually going on. So, you know, just sort of keep that in mind. And honestly, if this is a degenerative back condition, like some have speculated that that's actually what some of the problem is, like that should probably give us a little bit of pause and probably takes him out of the conversation of being in like the top four at the position with a Kelce, Kittle, Pitts, and Andrews, I guess organization from the ordering of the position in the offseason. I should also make mention, and I didn't in the running back section, but I want to make mention as well that of Joe Mixon. And Joe Mixon, there was some concern that he was going to miss this week with an ankle injury. That has not been the case. So I just skipped right over him because he wasn't even listed. He's not listed as questionable or anything. Two full participations, despite being what appeared to have suffered a sprained ankle. So good on him for returning. I know there was a potential spot start Samaje Perine movement going on out there in the running back streaming world. But that doesn't look like it's going to be the case. So good there for Joe Mixon, who honestly he's had a pretty good season. So that'll be a good situation for him. Okay, let's turn to a little bit of the strength to schedule stuff here for your lineup setting purposes. In terms of the quarterback position, your positive matchups of the week. So these are teams that allow on average two or more points above the typical opponent average. It is Dallas playing Washington. So Washington is a pretty favorable defense, the most favorable defense here. So Dak Prescott, good start. Detroit versus Atlanta. It's probably like the Tim Boyle situation. Not being super optimistic about that as a potential spot start. The Rams facing Minnesota. That could be a potential shootout game. So that would be interesting to watch there as well. You feel confident playing Stafford. And then Burrow against Baltimore. Feel confident there as well on the quarterback one. So three guys that, you know, two guys in particular that we have pretty good matchups on, that we have pretty good exposures to, Dak and Stafford. You know, my two guys for the Scott Fishbowl, who I was knocked out last week, so not particularly helpful, but hey, I set up good strength of schedules for a week that I didn't play. All right, so negative matchups here. Buffalo having the toughest matchup against the Patriots. The Patriots having the second toughest matchup against the Buffalo Bills. So we've done this recording before a couple weeks ago back in that windstorm of a hellscape that was Orchard Park that night. You still have to play Josh Allen, but I think you have to temper a little bit of the expectations, would sort of be the thought that I would have on that. And maybe it bumps up a guy like Dawson Knox as well. So, and heck, maybe this is a situation where Allen runs more. Like, I've been sort of calling for that. Like, put the damn ball in his hands. Like, 300 and 100, I know that they made a big deal about that, but that's actually not an unreasonable expectation for him a couple of times a year. Again, you don't expect it. He's not going to average anything like that, but to actually, like, he has that fully in his range of outcomes if they choose to sort of operate their offense that way. Vegas was a tough matchup against Denver. Again, with Carr, it's getting kind of tough too because not a ton of assets there either. So, and then Brady against Carolina. We'll see what this offense looks like. So I think you're probably starting Brady, but I don't know if you feel great about it. You know, if I've got a spot where I've got Brady and Carr, it's like, not particularly good feeling. You know, if I'm streaming, yeah, if I'm trying to pick one of them, I don't feel like either of them are that great of a matchup. But I'm playing Brady over Carr, but you get the idea. This isn't a situation like Brady's got a bad matchup and Carr's got a luscious one with a good supporting cast. Like, it's not heading that direction for either of those guys at this point. All right, most favorable matchup here of the week at the running back position is Jacksonville facing the Jets. So the Jets give up 11.1 more points on average to opposing running backs. That is by far the most. Chicago against Seattle, that's a good matchup. And actually, Montgomery has two good matchups the next 2 weeks, top three or four guy in terms of matchups here over the next couple of games. So that's good. You know, he hasn't had a huge season, but this could be a particularly helpful one. Denver as well. You feel fine about Gordon and Javonte Williams, where they sort of are. Atlanta playing Detroit. And that's when you feel pretty good probably about playing Cordarrelle Patterson. And you probably feel okay about playing Mike Davis as well, sort of in like the more desperation flex type zone. This isn't a spot where they're playing, like, for example, Buffalo next week, where they have a tougher than average defense against opposing running backs. Detroit as well facing Atlanta, so that's that Swift situation. We'll have to watch to see how that all sorts out, with Jamal Williams potentially being back as well. This is in terms of spot starts for a potential Justin Jackson one. They're playing Houston, so that is a notable interesting one as well. And they're a 10-point road favorite, 10.5 at some spots, with the moderate, you know, mid 40s. Over under. So some potential there. Again, it's more on the running back two scale for me, I think, than anything. You know, I know that Football Guys has him like firmly, like almost high end running back two, mid to high end running back two at this point. I understand that once you come down a little bit further, it's tough to sort of justify that just because there's not that many guys that have clear locked in spots, but I don't think he is. Like, he almost fits more on like the Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams conversation than he really does, like, you know, even a guy like Jeff Wilson, for example, where he felt a little bit more confident about him from a workload perspective. All right, so that's him. And then you've got on the Houston as well, with a good matchup against the Chargers, in fact. And that's, you know, I don't know how you necessarily, you know, if it's Burkhead, maybe, but I don't feel super great about that situation to play him at the spot. And again, David Johnson, firmly questionable for this week. Philly against the Giants, you know, we'll have to just watch and make sure that that Miles Sanders, with the couple DMPs, that he is in fact going to play. But if so, like, I think that's a spot where you could potentially feel pretty good about playing him. Minnesota, Cincinnati, Washington, San Francisco, Tampa, and Las Vegas have the tougher matchups on the week. They're all relatively close together in that group. Miami's by far the worst, but the other teams I mentioned in that group are on the bad side, but within like a point of each other. So negative 5.4 points for Miami's running backs there. That is the Saints defense. And then, yeah, I think Ronald Jones warrants some consideration as well. I mean, he feels firmly running back too. He's an interesting one vis-a-vis someone like Justin Jackson, how you feel about that. He just doesn't possess the upside receiving-wise. He just never has. But you feel kind of good about him from a rushing perspective. He's an interesting roster decision, and I'm going to have him and like Chase Edmonds potentially in a spot. Like, I've got maybe even Swift coming back. I'd play Swift over both of those guys, but like, that's kind of the decision-making range at this particular point. And honestly, once, you know, the kids go to bed while waiting for Santa and my wife falls asleep at like 9 o'clock on Christmas Eve, I'll be able to finally get some like additional look at some final week injury reports and have a better idea. And I think that those situations will probably sort themselves out, especially if Connor doesn't play, for example. Okay. So that's the running back position generally. Again, I'm playing Jacobs too. So, for what that's worth, Antonio Gibson did pop up as well on the it's worth noting he did pop up on you know, during the week as a potential injury. It's a DMP. I don't think I mentioned him before. He DMP'd twice with a toe. So I think, you know, having Jarrett Patterson as well makes some sense. So I don't think I mentioned him the first pass through on the running back position, but Jarrett Patterson, a potential addition there to probably look at, as well as the fact that J.D. McKissic has gone on IR. So that could be a potential interesting spot start. I will say this. I think that Gibson probably plays, but Patterson definitely elevates in the and the up the human hand grenade index, if you will. All right, the receiver position here. Just looking down the line in terms of where those matchups are, we've got the Rams, a good matchup against Minnesota. That game, again, that game could shoot out and be pretty interesting to watch. Dallas, good matchup against Washington. So hopefully some of those Amari Cooper, Dak, CeeDee Lamb-centric teams that we might have could be useful. They have a good matchup here down the stretch. Dallas does against both them and Arizona here. One of the like top five or six in the league over the next 2 weeks. Carolina, good matchup against Tampa Bay. We'll see with the quarterback position how that goes with DJ Moore. You know, potential play. I don't feel super confident about Robbie Anderson, even though he might necessarily force himself into some lineups given some of the COVID concerns. Detroit against Atlanta, maybe Amon-Ra St. Brown or Josh Reynolds. Don't feel great about it with a backup quarterback. The Saints, don't feel great about that situation with a third-string quarterback. The Jets, Jameson Crowder, maybe. Oh, man, just it's just really tough. I mean, you know, Elijah Moore was playing well before he went out. You know, on the COVID list. So, you know, we'll see. And, you know, he's on IR and to COVID and all that stuff. So, disappointing track for him, on his season. Some additional spots here. Washington, a good matchup against Dallas. So maybe, you know, you feel decent about a guy like, Terry McLaurin, and hopefully the quarterback situation getting better there with Heinicke and Kyle Allen potentially getting off of the off of COVID and back onto the field. Negative matchups here, no surprise. Patriots and Bills on the bottom end of this. The Giants, I don't feel really good about anyone there. Potential Jake Fromm start. I mean, some of this quarterbacks, I talk in the offseason like, man, quarterback position is never as good as like it's been. Like, man, it's excellent. Like all these guys, like how many like young guys we got in their primes and all this stuff. And it's like all consolidated into like the top like 10. And then my God, after that, like if you don't have one of the vets that's good, like some of the situations that we have going on here are just brutal. With the Giants, you know, you've got the whole Saints issue going on here. They're on their fourth quarterback of the year. I mean, yeah, it's just, this stuff can get really tough, you know? So, I'm staying away from that Giants again with a bad matchup, staying away from that team. Houston playing the Chargers again, Davis Mills, without Brandon Cooks could be challenging. You know, and I don't think there's anyone else that really capitalizes on that opening, especially in a bad matchup. Denver facing Vegas. That's such a crowded situation there with the Denver receiving core as well. I don't feel good about anyone there. And then Chicago against Seattle. You know, hopefully we'll get an Allen Robinson breakout, which I'm not going to depend on in any way, shape, or form at this particular point. Just where he's at. It's just it's been a pretty disappointing season for him. Again, he's been banged up, and you know, and the COVID stuff and all that. But you know, hopefully could potentially return and play this week. But man, just super super disappointing. Honestly, it's the only way that I can really describe his situation this season. And Jakeem Grant is dealing with a concussion. By way of reference, so maybe that's, if you're looking for a spot start, maybe that's a Marquise Goodwin situation. But again, that's not one I feel great about either. All right, and last but not least, we'll look at the tight end position. Giants have a good matchup against Philly, so maybe Evan Ingram, tight end 2/tight end 1 type performance. You know, if you have him and Kelsey, something like that, maybe that's a, hey, at least it's a good matchup. Arizona, good matchup against Indy. Zach Ertz probably on the tight end 1 scale this week. Chicago against Seattle. Cole Kmet, you know, probably on that tight end 2 scale as well. Chargers playing Houston. You know, they're dealing with that Parham concussion injury as well. So he has not practiced this week. So that's probably going to open up maybe a little bit more usage for a guy like Jared Cook, who struggled. He's been on and off a little bit, but that's a good matchup there. Houston, similarly a good matchup against the Chargers. They both give it up to other tight ends. Problem is, I don't really trust anyone there. This is a potential good matchup for CJ Uzomah as well against Baltimore. On the flip side, the tough matchups, Dawson Knox has a tough matchup against the Patriots, so that's not great. Vegas against Denver. Denver is one of the tougher defenses, the second toughest matchup of the week there, so you probably don't feel great about a Foster Moreau situation. The Patriots and the Bills, so Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, maybe a little bit of the ceiling off that, although I feel better about Henry than I do Jonnu. Indy, Seattle, Kansas City, and Miami, as well as Tennessee, all on the negative side of the ledger for this week at the tight end positions. And Tennessee obviously played, so did San Francisco. They played each other on Thursday Night Football. But I think Gesicki you feel fine with. You know, you're hoping to get someone in Kansas City. You're hoping to get Kelsey back. Blake Bell was activated from the list, so maybe he's a potential, like, in total desperation spot start. Gerald Everett, with the fact that Disley's out, might feel better in Seattle. But that's pretty much your rundown. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this edition of the Analytics of Dynasty, your Week 16 primer. It's usually the championship week, but this is the semifinals week for most weeks. My daughter Gracie has graced us with her presence. Gracie, come on, say Merry Christmas. Hey. Come on, come over here and say Merry Christmas in your reindeer shirt. Say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All right, so from the Analytics Dynasty, I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.